J8. Theocracy in the Light of Christian Science. Number 1A.
Right, so we welcome ourselves to Portland, and it certainly is a wonderful city, and I'm happy to come back again. I see how it's full of great promise. Just has a terrific atmosphere. And here we bring our subject of theocracy, which is government under the immediate directions of the laws of God, a subject that's been growing very near to my heart lately as something that is absolutely an imperative standpoint from which to live. It really offers a situation where no other standpoint will be accessible or practical to us now or in the future. The general outline for the talk will be this morning. I would like to present the method of problem solving. This is a general talk, really. It's going to be something that will help build up within your consciousness an understanding of the divine system of reference. Because some of us are totally new to the subject, and because some of us have no Christian Science background, this morning talk will help us build up a common language. We like to call it the language of spirit, the language of God, so that we can go on with the second subject, maybe later on this afternoon, but certainly this later on this morning, but certainly this afternoon, on the science of government. Now, with this building up of the morning talk will give us, therefore, the understanding to really begin to tackle this question, what is the science of true government? Then I'd like to take a third subject called the government of the Mother Church and the Church of Christ Scientist. Though this sounds pretty sectarian, it really isn't. Because as Mrs. Eddy set up the evolution of the Christian Science Church government, she did it really as an evolution of government per se. The way the evolution of world government will go, and actually the way the evolution of our individual government goes for our own individual life and its response to reality. So it is a universal subject. Mrs. Eddy herself did not want to organize a church. She did begin to do so because of the religious age in which she lived in the late 1800s, early 1900s. But she disorganized, as we'll see this afternoon, her first church. But her students demanded that she start up another church, which we'll see. But she felt what she gave was a universal science, the universal science of theocracy, which is not having anything to do with any type of organization, especially a religious organization. Now, the texts that I recommend with this subject is, when we go home, would be this subject of the method of problem solving is based on the book by Max Kapler called Introduction to the Science of Christian Science. And the text for the science of government, and then the government of the Mother Church and the Church of Christ Scientist, I recommend Max Kapler's book, Christian Government, Its Scientific Evolution. So if we begin then with our point one, we have this whole subject of the method of problem solving. We're all concerned with problems in our life and how to solve problems. I guess that's why we're here. If life was a bowl of cherries, so to speak, I guess we'd be out doing something else. But because problems are constantly coming up in our lives, and they have to, because that's the process of healing, we tend to flee in front of a problem, but we shouldn't. We should welcome it, because it's really something that is coming up to be taken care of. We don't always have negative problems. We have positive problems also. For an architect, we need to know how to design a building. If we're a mathematician, we need to know how to design a positive problem. So the method of problem solving is for positive and what we call negative problems that have to come up in order for life to evolve. Now, because our subject is true government, our problem today specifically is what constitutes true government. Now, this is a broad subject because if we understand the subject of government, it certainly is, the root category subject that will take care of all other subjects in our life. It is the problem, I feel, that includes all other problems. Once we get this straight within our consciousness. Certainly we see with the revolution, what we have called of 1989 in the world, that there is rapid changes happening in world governments. It's almost overwhelming. We see that in the world today there are what we would say crises occurring in the political scene, in the economic scene, and in the social scene. And when we take a look at these crises that are going on, especially in the political, economic, and social, we have crises going on in the religious, but if we want to take a look at what's immediately before consciousness, we see that there's a big change happening. Crises always mean change. They come together. One wouldn't have really a crisis without a change. It's because things begin to change from one position to another. We get what we call chemicalization or instability, uncertainty, what we call a crisis. Now, what we can see if we take a big look at the world, it looks like what is happening, and of course I'll be talking from the standpoint of spiritual terms and world terms altogether. It looks like what is happening, and we'll explain as I go on this terminology more and more, so that there's a change from the first degree, or what we call the physical standpoint. That's really that second record of creation standpoint of the Adam man, or what we would call that Adam man with his mortal nature, his material nature, selfish, sensual, animal nature. And by man, that's a generic term, which means mankind. So I'm not just talking to men, am I? I have certainly friends who are into women work and women government. Stop briefly. We'll see that, therefore, this term, and I'm going to use it, as I said before I stopped for a moment, that I have friends who are into certainly the women's art and women's movement, which we all are into, but I didn't feel that it was necessary to always say men and women, because as Mrs. Eddy shows us, and as the sixth day of creation shows us, that when God created man in his image and likeness, that doesn't just mean the male, because he said he created man in his image and likeness, male and female created he him, so them. So that means man as a generic term, including male and female. So the Adam man then it stands for that which has the animal qualities, and an animal qualities taken as a symbol usually stand for duality, friction, animal, devouring animal, that whole war basis of thinking. And in that first degree of the physical, we're seeing when it comes, when that nature comes into the political situation, you get dictators, you get central control, you get what one calls autocracy. Or we would get the slavery of the individual, really no individual rights under such a political situation, which is couched under the first degree or the physical. In the first degree of the physical in the social situation, These animal behaviors take on the survival of the fittest, dog eat dog. There's not enough to go around, so it's either me or you. It comes into a drugged society. It comes into a society, social society, again, of conflict and war. If that first degree of the physical comes into an economic situation, we get laws of limitation. It's me against you, and therefore I have to have my protectionism to protect me from you. And to protect me from you, my economic situation must be based on war and the military budget. And all this somehow brings up an economy that is based on poverty. Now, today, as we see, then, there is a crisis going on in the world. And that is happening in all areas, whether it's the political, social, or economic. It's exciting. May we live in a time of change. Mrs. Eddy, before she left us, when it changed from the 1800s to the 1900s, said of this 20th century, "Thou God-crowned patient century, thine hour has come." Knowing that the world would make the shift from the first degree, or the physical, to the second degree, or the moral, within the political, social, and economic, and certainly going on, as we'll see later on, into the third degree, or the spiritual. But in the world today, we're having this change to, from the first degree of the physical, much more into a moral world. Now, this second degree, as we will see as I go on, I'm going to explain it in more and more detail. This is a degree which is between the first and the third, between the first degree of the physical and the third degree of the spiritual. Therefore, this standpoint is where one has, I wouldn't like to necessarily have to call it a schizophrenic standpoint, but it's one which is dual. It has sometime the leaning towards the half Adam man in the physical nature and half towards the spiritual man. It's called the human. I think we know it pretty well. It's the half mortal mind or limited mind in our Christian Science terminology and half the divine mind, the human mind. Sometimes that is influenced by false beliefs or evil thinking, so to speak, or sometimes influenced by divine ideas, by good. This, therefore, is a standpoint which one would call moral. It's honest, it's compassionate, full of responsibility, where evil beliefs begin to disappear. And instead of a standpoint of conflict and friction, which was from the animal nature, we have a standpoint where we agree to disagree. Who says we always have to agree on everything? But if we at least agree to disagree, there is some type of harmony, Mrs. Eddy says. That seems to be now the atmosphere that is coming into the world today. And you can collect your articles and favorite quotes. I can collect mine. I only brought two favorite quotes, two paraphrases of favorite quotes. One is from the different world leaders today who are part of this revolution of 1989. One, of course, is Václav Havel, the tremendous new president of Czechoslovakia. He, when he came, I'm not sure if any of you heard his address to the joint meeting of the United States Congress in February 21st, 1990. It was terrific, absolutely terrific. He said in a nutshell that what is happening is that the world, especially we know the Eastern world, Eastern Europe, but it didn't stay to Eastern Europe. As we know, it's become a worldwide revolution, that is to learn democracy. And it says what's happening is to learn democracy from the United States. And they certainly are giving the United States credit, saying, well, not that we ourselves can always live up to our Constitution, but we've been doing pretty well in the last 200 years, So they look at it as 200 successful years. At least we have tried to be the beacon of democracy in the free world. And it has not gone unnoticed. He said something else which was terrific. He said, in this new revolution that is going on, we must always remember, and these are his words, that consciousness precedes being. You know, he's a playwright and a poet and has a way of putting things together. He says, consciousness precedes being. And this is what we've learned in Christian Science, that consciousness is being. What we have in our consciousness determines our experience. Taken to the metaphysical level, if we think good thoughts, we have a good experience. If we think bad thoughts, we have a bad experience. That's metaphysics, but anyhow, it gives the idea of it. He says there is what we need is a global revolution in human consciousness. It's not trying to get in and fix up this political system and that social system and this economic system. He says what is needed is a revolution in consciousness, because consciousness determines being. Terrific. How many of our political leaders have gotten up in front of Congress lately and been talking about a revolution of consciousness, huh? It always seems to break down into economy, politics, social, but to get really at the inspiration behind it, Havel, I think, hit the key. And then he said, and with this revolution of consciousness, salvation will be in the human consciousness and in the human heart, he said, and in the human nature. That has got to change as the human nature. My goodness, we know how easy it is to change our thinking from one minute to another. How is it to change our nature? There, we struggle with those qualities that we have inherited, either through a claim of astrology, so to speak, or through a family idiosyncrasies. However, we have what we call a human nature or an animal nature, whether it's from stubborn human will to being just good and ornery, liking war, liking conflict, irresponsible. We get some good qualities too. But he says that this human heart, therefore salvation is in really the human nature that can only be changed with a change of consciousness. And he said that, but it's responsibility not to just the family. That's nice. It's wonderful if in marriages or in relationships we have responsibility to each other. That's needed. We have too much irresponsibility, too many divorces, too many breaking up of relationships, just because of irresponsible behavior. He says it's not just responsibility to the family or the nation, though that's very important. He says, but it's responsibility to the order of being itself. How's that coming to the joint talk to the United States Congress? Telling them that our responsibility is to being itself and to the order of being itself, not to our self-interest. And he said the goal will be therefore brought out, which will be then the family of man, in a reflection of pure responsibility. Terrific. But you can hear here that whole cry for democracy and a moral foundation, the second degree, the moral. Then we have another little quote I liked from our Eastern European leaders that came during an International Press Institute conference in March 1990. There was a article in our Seattle Post-Intelligencer on April 1st, 1990 called Exercising Tyranny, which was just a recapitulation of this International Press Institute conference where Eastern European leaders gathered together. And from this article, I could take out four big main points that these Eastern European leaders were all saying together. All of them. They were, first of all, at point one, saying that we have to seek a moral, and this is their terms, this is words, foundation for our new democracies. They say that morality is at once the basis and most needed commodity not animality. Even there, it was interesting, one quick interview of one of the dignitaries in Russia, part of, I believe it was the Communist Party, when they were beginning to restructure it in the initial stages. They said to him, "What do you feel?" He said, "I am so grateful for this restructuring going on within the Communist Party." He says, "It's the first time, really, we're not acting like animals." And so they said at this conference that it's a need, really, for morality, which is the most needed commodity in the struggle in Eastern Europe. We know this now would be, this is an Eastern European leaders, but certainly it would take in what's going on in Africa. They would be saying the same thing and around the world. It's not so much a political problem, they said then in the article, it's a moral problem. And as a point too, they said, don't reduce morality to such issues as abortion only, though that's important. But it's bigger than just abortion, though it includes abortion. We mean morality per se, something that is higher than the animal nature. And they says, as a point three, why we need this moral ingredients is to keep society together. And that moral ingredients is a shared notion of social good. Isn't it nice to be hearing this coming from the leaders? And they say, and again in their words, that morality is a hard currency. And in quoting them, they say, freedom you conquer, but democracy and morality you have to learn. We have to learn democracy and morality in the making. So this is something, therefore, they do look to the United States for democracy, and they hope morality. And as we can see then, if this moral element comes into the political scene, we come away then from the dictators in the world. That isn't the kind of politics you get under a moral society with central control and slavery and no individual rights. We come much more into democracy, and this is what's happening in the world today, away from autocracy, and in some places like Romania, hideous dictatorships. Slavery, which is unbelievable, into now a struggling for, especially like in Romania, probably the hardest hit by those autocratic governments in a despotic human will governing, into freedom of individual rights. In the second degree of the moral and the social situation, we should be getting much more moral behavior, much more cooperation. You find it in your cities. You find it, for example, the neighborhoods becoming more and more important. Neighborhood watch. The neighborhood getting together for the common of good, to bring out this shared notion of social good. That's beginning to emerge. That comes out in an educated society. You'll hear more and more this accentuation on education in a moral society. It's a society also that agrees to disagree. It doesn't have to in a moral society always. Everybody has to agree with everyone else, and this is what you get in a false sense of even Christianity. Well, let's all love one another and agree with everyone. That's not the point. We certainly are individuals, and we have our individual expression and viewpoints. But again, in this immoral society, we would agree to disagree and have this be harmony. And in a moral society, our economic situation is going to go more and more from laws of limitation from protectionism, which you already hear trying to be broken down, especially in Russia. That whole secretive, protectionistic type of society based on war economy and horrendous poverty, switching to a free market economy, really a peace economy, which will be a high technology economy really economy based on a high-tech budget and no longer an economy based on war. And it's an economy which accentuates wealth more than it would be having such extreme poverty. Now, we see then this issue then of problems and solution. As we said, this first beginning talk is on that whole point of the method of problem solving. We have our problems and we want to arrive at solutions. So what we want to say is who or what is solving the problem in the world today? Who or what is pushing the world from a first degree of physicality to the second degree of morality? Who or what is governing this change? Are the world leaders solving the problems themselves? Are the world leaders on a personal basis causing the world, the whole earth practically, to make the push from a first degree, the physical, into the second degree, the moral? It's a platform then from what I speak today that no, it wouldn't be a personal issue. That behind this problem solving is what we would call God. Or, therefore, that those laws of being, theocracy, government under the immediate direction of the laws of God. That what we call God, and I'll define as we go along the term God, that God, or as we will see, called principle or laws, is causing the world to move from a first degree into a second degree, finally into the third degree of the spiritual. So when we have all our every single day questions, can we reduce all those many, many, many questions? I'm sure if we that solve around our problems, we probably could have volumes of problems and on a piece of paper and volumes of solutions to try to figure out how to solve all those problems. But can we reduce this situation of all our questions and trying to find their answers to one ultimate question, which would include all questions? And that question is, what is reality itself? And somehow, when we find out what the ultimate answer is to the question, what is reality, that will answer all our other questions. And in answering that question, what is reality, we answer it by, then how do I become one with that reality? Not just leaving that question out there as, what is reality? And in any other science, just going in through the process of analysis, finding out what the reality is, and then finding out and writing it down and closing the book and says, wonderful, I found out what reality is. That's what we usually do in a science. We go out and find out what a structure of a situation is, write it down and close the book. We never ask, after we find out the structure of a tree, how do I become one with the structure of that tree? But in relationship to God and government, we ask, what is reality? And the next big point to find our, when we find our answer is then, and how do I become one with this reality?